And our last case for argument is Crawford versus Indiana Harbor Belt Railway. Mr. Birch.
Please, the court. My name is Anthony Birch. I represent Tisa Crawford, the plaintiff and appellant in this matter. This matter is here today on appeal from a U.S. Court District decision which granted the Indiana Harbor Belt Railroad the defendant and appellee's motion for summary judgment on May 23, 2005. This case involves Ms. Crawford's claim of gender discrimination against the railroad company. There are two issues on appeal. The first is whether this case should be dismissed by the district court based upon information not in dispute but was improperly cited in the response to the defendant's motion for summary judgment. The answer to that is no, because that is too harsh of a decision to make, and it does not grant Ms. Crawford her day in court. Secondly, based upon the articulated information...
She was a terrible worker. I mean, she was a menace, right? Derailing a boxcar, pretty hard to do, I would think.
Your Honor, that goes to the substantive issues in the particular case. And if you look at Ms. Crawford's case, her work history compared to that of the other male employees... It was not a horrible worker. There was another male employee, Ronald Cogshell, who had worked for the railroad. He had over 11 derailments of a boxcar. He also had 70 employee rule violations, and he had two safety violations, and his strongest sanction was a 22-day suspension, whereas Ms. Crawford was terminated after one boxcar derailment, four employment violations, which total to she wasn't available for work on four different occasions, and two safety of the violations, which in essence was her not properly wearing her glasses and improperly riding on a car. So if you look at her work record compared to that of the other male employees, it was
Weren't
not
there 10 male employees fired in 2002 and 2003 for violating summer work and safety rules? Doesn't the evidence show 10?
It does show that, Your Honor, but it does not show that for the vast majority of other male workers during that same period of time. And I think...
I don't understand. I mean, 10 people are fired, males are fired, for the same thing she was fired for, and you don't think that's pertinent to the inquiry?
I think that what's more pertinent to the inquiry with regards to Ms. Tisa Crawford, the only female working at that time, would have been to look at the other male employees with similar... numbers of violation that were not fired.
Well, these are 10 that were violated for similar work and safety rules. That's what the record shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the record also shows that there were a number of other...
But some people weren't fired. Some were and some weren't.
Some people were fired and some people were not
fired. It wasn't based on gender because 10 of them were men. And then there's the lady.
Well, Your Honor, with the people that were not fired, I would say that there was other factors that played into them being fired. But with regard to Ms. Crawford, the only thing that was cited was this one derailment of a boxcar. And in looking at her work record with, compared to the other male work records, it was not an atrocious work record. So to say that she was just fired for that, Your Honor, I think that a reasonable jury could find that gender was a factor in her fire, which would have been in violation of the law. The second issue is based upon the articulated...
So how many people were employed doing roughly the same kind of work she was?
During that time, Your Honor...
She was a
train
freight
person.
Conductor, is that what you'd call her?
Mm-hmm. No, Your Honor, her title was a train person, and the titles for the men was a train men, and it... Pretty much the...
Okay, they're trainmen. So how many trainmen were there altogether?
At that time, Your Honor, I believe it was roughly 200.
There were 200? So how did you pick the 10 to compare to her?
The 10 that I compared, I looked for the ones with the most atrocious work records. For instance, Mr. Cogshell, and there's another one, Norman Hood. There were others, but those two were the...
Okay, but this goes back to Judge Bauer's question. So you have 200 people, 10 of them are fired, right?
11.
Well, 11, including her. 10 besides her. Okay. And then two who have very bad records are not fired. Does that really prove anything? I mean, it may prove something less than perfect enforcement of their work rules, but if they fired 5/6 of, 10 out of 12 of the offenders, of the male offenders, and the one female offender, why does that suggest some bias?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that, to answer that question, two things. The first point being that there was more than just two. There were a number of other people with similar work violations that were not fired, more than just two. Secondly, I believe that that would be a question for a trier of fact. We can put this question before a jury, and the jury could not believe Indiana Harbor Belt Railroad, or they could not believe Tisa Crawford. So it would just depend, and I believe that that would be a question best answered by a trier of fact, and not for one that would be granted a summary judgment where Ms. Crawford would not have her day in court. Mm-hmm. The facts in this case, Your Honor, are pretty straightforward. Ms. Crawford is a single black mother who worked for the defendant for a little over a year. She was a pioneer in that she was the only female working for Indiana Harbor Belt Railroad in a male-dominated industry at that time. Her employment reflected, as we've already gone over, that she had some incidents in which her work record was not perfect, but by far it was not one which would have warranted her termination. Your Honor, where the judge has taken on the responsibility and has granted a...
Are you saying all the 10 men that were fired all had worse records than she?
Yes, Your Honor. Compared to Ms. Crawford, yes, Your Honor. And with respect to the granting of the motion for summary judgment, what was cited in the memorandum in support of the judge's memorandum for summary judgment, it basically said that improper citing to the record with regards to facts that would be would create a genuine issue of material fact in favor of Ms. Crawford, he just wouldn't look at them because they were improperly cited. And I would say, Your Honor, that that is too harsh of a remedy for lack of improper citation. When that the opportunity, these are facts that were not in dispute. These were facts that were given by the defendant. Therefore, we should have had at least an opportunity to cure any defects in the presentation. Secondly, as for a substantive issue, Your Honor, I do, as already previously stated, that this is a case where it should go to a jury. Ms. Crawford should have her day in court. Under the test spelled out in McDonnell Douglas versus Green with regards to gender discrimination, there are four-pronged tests: that the claimant be a member of a protected class, in this case Ms. Crawford, is her gender is the issue and she is a female, that she was meeting the employee's legitimate employment qualifications, and I believe that if that question was put before a jury, her work record versus that of the vast majority of other workers, a jury could find that she was meeting the legitimate expectations of the employer, that there was an adverse action. In this particular case, Ms. Crawford was terminated, and the existence of at least one similarly situated other person outside the protected class that was not subject to the same adverse action. In this case, there is more than one. I've cited two, a Ronald Cogshell and a Norman Hood. Norman Hood had 10 accidents, 17 miscellaneous violations of the employee handbook, and a one safety violation. And his greatest penalty was a 15-day actual suspension, where Ms. Crawford was terminated. So for these reasons, in conclusion, Ms. Crawford will request that this court reverse the district court because there is an issue of material fact as to whether or not Ms. Crawford was disciplined more harshly than her comparable males. And we would also ask that this court find that it is not proper to dismiss an action solely because of a failure to properly cite to the record facts that are not in dispute and where there is has been no opportunity to cure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Birch.
Thank you.
Mr. Cox?
May it please the court. Good afternoon. My name is Michael Cox, and I represent Appellee Indiana Harbor Belt Railroad Company. Your Honors, the District Court did not abuse its discretion when it correctly determined that appellant failed to comply with Local Rule 56.1 and that all but one of Indiana Harbor Belt's statement of facts were deemed admitted. Appellant failed to cite to the record to properly support her denials to statement of facts. And this court and district courts underneath this court have consistently held that the failure to do so is equivalent to admitting the statements. Appellant also failed to cite to the record to support her additional statement of facts, including the disciplinary records of the alleged comparators, and the district court properly did not abuse its discretion in disregarding her additional statement of facts. Finding no genuine issue of material fact dispute, the district court...
What about Mr. Bircher's contention that there are... that the men who were fired were even worse performers than she, and that at least a couple of men who were not fired had worse performance than she? What do you say to that?
Your Honor, the two individuals that Mr. Birch named both had longer track records. They were subject... The company policies had been updated throughout the years. They were subject to different supervisions. Appellant has no idea what degree of accountability either of those individuals had in the infractions. Those and other multiple distinguishing factors dictate that they're not similarly situated in all material respects.
What was the evidence presented on summary judgment? Were there any depositions?
Your Honor, no foundation for those disciplinary records were given. Plaintiff or appellant did depose an officer of the company that was not qualified to testify about those disciplinary records.
But were these written records?
They were computer printouts, yes.
And they were produced to the plaintiff?
Correct, Your Honor. Finding no genuine issue of material fact, district court correctly determined that appellant had no direct evidence of discrimination, a finding that appellant does not appear to dispute on appeal, and also correctly determined that there was no indirect evidence of discrimination. With respect to the prima facie case under McDonnell Douglas, district court correctly found that appellant could not demonstrate her burden of proving that she met Indiana Harbor's legitimate employment expectations, as well as identify any similarly situated male conductors that were treated differently than her in terms of discipline. District court correctly found that an employee who incurred multiple policy infractions within the span of 1 year, despite clear policy guidance, repeated admonishments, progressive discipline, is not someone...
Why should the fact that these men had worked longer make a difference?
Well, under the terms of seniority of the collective bargaining agreement, the training that they've gone through, they've proven themselves if they've...
Well, they go ahead and they derail boxcars. Why would you retain them? I don't understand.
Well, again, Your Honor, those records were not admitted into evidence, into the record properly. And besides that, a printout with...
But they weren't cited properly, wasn't it?
They weren't cited properly, but also the facts behind those derailments is unclear. Plaintiff took no depositions clarifying who was accountable for that.
There's a use of terminology here, train women and conductors. What's the situation with that?
Well, over the 60-year history of the company, they've used different terms, positions, titles to refer to the same position. As of today, they're now known as conductors. That's the way it started off, but they've just classified the same position under different titles.
But you said that some of these people weren't conductors, some of these comparable people. What does that mean? What were they?
They were engineers, Your Honor.
What's the difference?
Conductors are more or less responsible for making sure that the trains are routed properly. engineers are more or less responsible for
making it go. Toot, toot.
Yeah, making it go, blowing the whistle, and
that sort of thing. Stopping it when it should be stopped, starting it when it should be there. Conductor worries about the rest of the train.
Yep, and the engineer worries about the engine.
Yep.
But if an engineer, you know, runs off the rails or something, sounds pretty serious. What? Why couldn't he be compared? I don't understand.
Well, that's, Your Honor,
if you have a bunch of people causing these boxcars to be derailed, what wouldn't you expect similar discipline against all of them? Sounds pretty serious, too.
Your Honor, certainly the engineer would have some degree of responsibility, but that's not his primary responsibility. His primary responsibility is making the engine go. The train person,
the
conductor.
If he makes it go in the wrong direction or at the wrong time,
that's a horse of another color.
Your Honor, the engineer has no steering wheel. The engineer,
iron horse of another color.
The engineer just makes it go forward or back, and the conductors.
That's an important decision, right?
It might be an easier job than the conductor position, but that's all the engineer has to do.
The conductor wants him to stop. He'll stop, too.
Correct. Your Honor, I believe my time is...
No, it's running out, but you ought to get out of here while you're still alive.
Okay. The district court also correctly determined, in light of the admissions that appellant made to Indiana Harbor Statement of Facts, that there were no similarly situated male employees treated differently than her. District court decided to go ahead, even despite appellant's inability to meet her prima facie case and determine whether or not Indiana Harbor Belt expressed a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for her termination. And district court properly found that poor performance is a legitimate reason, and in addition found that appellant could not satisfy her burden of proving that reason was pretextual. Your Honor, made a point earlier that the Indiana Harbor Belt terminated 10 male conductors within appellant's year of employment, which shows that, although maybe not precise and uniform, it's about as close as Indiana Harbor Belt could get in terms of enforcing its policy. And that
made me nervous about the whole railroad system.
Yeah.
People it's not going to change off the rail on a regular basis, fire or not fire. I mean, you have to fire 12 people or 11 people right off the rail. That makes you twitchy about who you're hiring.
Your Honor, rest assured, most of these incidents occurred in the rail yards where there's multiple
switches. It's a short line railroad, right?
Yeah. It actually extends around.
It circles around. I know what a short line is.
But rest assured, these incidents mostly occurred in the rail yards where there are different switches.
It may have been confined to horrible things that happened to the railroad itself, and nobody else got crushed by the thing, but that's an accident.
Well,
Railway people get hurt on a regular basis. An item of academic interest, my grandfather was a switchman at the Illinois Central, was crushed between a roundhouse and a boxcar in 1924. So I go back a long way from figuring out what about how things work with people who don't take care of trains. And it seems to me, however, that what we're talking about is a complaint against the railroad for who they hire and how they train them and what they do with them as opposed to anything else. I mean, if I listen carefully to what the argument was, that if we get away with letting several people both knock trains off, we'll let everybody knock the trains off. Why should we get excited about it? That doesn't make sense to me somehow, but there you are.
Agree, Your Honor. And just for the record, most of the accidents occur on the rail yards, and most of the injuries are to co-workers rather than the general public.
Doesn't make me feel more comfortable.
No, it doesn't. Thank you for your with all these considerations, Indiana Harbor Belt respectfully requests that the district court decision be affirmed, and thank you for your time and service, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cox. Mr. Birch, does he have any time? 1 minute left? Yeah.
Thank you. As a point of clarification, I would just want to say that the argument that Ms. Crawford is making today is not one of everyone should have an opportunity to cause train accidents. Her argument today is that everyone should be disciplined the same way. If you have a system where people are disciplined differently based upon gender, then that's just against the law.
I agree. But when 11 people are fired and one of them is a woman, it doesn't mean there's a gender bias demonstrated. Now, there may be a couple that stuck in that they should have fired that didn't. That goes to saying the railroad is goofy and not firing people, not as opposed to that they did something wrong by firing somebody. But there you are. That's only a personal opinion.
Okay. And I would just say that the argument with regards to the lower court, what they found was not that there was no information there that would be able to find that Ms. Crawford was discriminated against, but I didn't cite to it properly. And that's the difference. And I think that a summary judgment, granting summary judgment, is too harsh a remedy where I've had no opportunity to cure. And just as a side note, I see my time is up. Thank you.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish.
This is a side note. I passed the bar in 2003, so this was actually my first case. Uh-huh. So it wasn't as though I disregarded what the rules were.
Everybody's got to start someplace. Yeah.
And it wasn't a cavalier attitude that I just did not care. These were mistakes of inexperience, and I would just ask that Ms. Crawford be given her day in court.
Okay, well, thank you very much, both counsel. And court will stand in recess.